Tonight, the Democratic hopefuls meet in New Hampshire for a debate which is sure to have an added charge. This morning, on a stage in Harlem in New York City, former Vice President Al Gore endorsed former Vermont Governor Howard Dean for president.
Democracy is a team sport. And I want to do everything I can to convince anybody that is interested in my judgment about who among these candidates has the best chance to win and the best chance to lead our country in the right direction. I want to do everything I can to convince you to get behind Howard Dean, and let's make this a successful campaign as a group. It is about all of us, and all of us need to get behind the strongest candidate.
Gore's announcement left the other Democratic candidates open-mouthed, especially since several of them had reasons of their own to hope for Gore's nod. It's also yet another signpost in the post-election 2000 political transformation of Al Gore. For the rest of this hour, we want to discuss the endorsement and how it affects the major players involved, and we want to hear from you. If you're a Democrat, what does Gore's endorsement mean to you, if anything? Is it appropriate for party luminaries to weigh in before the voters do? Do they influence your opinions? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, or you can send email to us at totn@npr.org. And joining us to discuss what Gore's announcement means and where Dean is going is Democratic pollster Douglas Schoen in New York. Good of you to join us today.
Thank you.
And also with us is Jack Pitney, a government professor at Claremont McKenna College. He's with us from his home in Glendale, California. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Doug Schoen, after listening to the clip we just played, it sounds like Gore's decision was as much about electability as ideology.
Yeah, I think it was about electability, but I also think it was about the whole notion of avoiding a fractious fight going forward into the nominating process. I think Al Gore understands that the Democratic Party, if it's unified, will have a better chance of beating George Bush, and I think that that in large score underscores the endorsement.
Do you think it's unusual for endorsements to emerge, especially from such a prominent member of the party, this early?
Yes, I think it is unusual. I think it will do Howard Dean a great deal of good. I think it will allay concerns among the establishment about him. I think it'll help to create a sense of inevitability about his nomination and ultimately potentially his election. And I think that it is only good news for Howard Dean.
Let's bring in Jack Pitney on that point. What did Dean actually come away with today? A party acceptance?
Yeah, this matters a great deal to the party activists and contributors. I don't know that a large portion of the primary electorate is going to gravitate to Dean simply because of the endorsement. But as Doug just said, it does help further the air of inevitability around Howard Dean, and that's good news in attracting donations and activists. So to that extent, Howard Dean's taken a big step forward to the nomination.
What part of the Democratic constituency do you think Al Gore will help him with?
Well, it's significant that the initial announcement occurred today in Harlem. Howard Dean has not had particularly strong relationships with African Americans until recently, at least. His rallies were wider than the Stockholm chapter of the Barry Manilow fan club. Al Gore has had a long-standing relationship with African Americans, and this will help Dean with a crucial constituency for the Democratic Party.
What does Al Gore get out of it, do you think? I'll ask you. You come in a second, Doug. But
sure.
Jack, why don't you go ahead?
Well, if Al Gore can't be the king, he can be the kingmaker. If Howard Dean does, in fact, end up being the nominee, this will solidify Al Gore as a go-to guy in the Democratic Party.
And Doug, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think I do. I would add that if Howard Dean is elected, this makes Al Gore a senior advisor, a potential ambassador in the way that Walter Mondale was, but also perhaps someone who would play a major role in foreign policy, a la Jim Baker, with both President Bush the first and President Bush the second. And if Howard Dean doesn't win, I think that Al Gore has strengthened his bona fides with the activist Professor Pitney was talking about, who will be determinative of the nominee going forward in 2008. So I think it's a win-win for Gore.
Let's get some listeners involved, and Karen joins us on the line from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Hi, it's actually Sharon, but...
the screen said Karen, but I apologize.
Oh, it's okay. Thank you for taking my call. I'll take my answer off the air, whatever. I'm a student at LSU, and I apologize there. And I was curious if anybody thought that this could possibly hurt Dean having Gores and Dorfman.
In the sense of an insurgent being accepted by the mainstream suddenly?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Jack Pitney, what do you think?
Well, normally that would be a concern, but for the Democrats who are really passionate about the election, I call them the Blue Hots, the endorsement of Al Gore does carry some weight because one of the reasons they're passionate is they think that Bush cheated Gore out of the presidency. So even though Gore has sort of an establishment background, they still associate him with something that they're very angry with the Bush administration about. So to that extent, I think it does continue to help Dean.
But Doug Schoen, a lot of Dean supporters are insurgents themselves, outsiders, and now suddenly does their candidate look like just another Paul?
Well, I think that with Al Gore having to those same insurgents been effectively cheated out of the election in the year 2000, and with Gore not really ever having been an establishment figure, even though he served as Bill Clinton's vice president, I don't think this is really going to take the bloom off the rose.
It looks tactical, as we suggested at the beginning. There's a lot of issues that if you look at Al Gore's career and Howard Dean's positions, there's not a lot that they would agree on.
Well, I think that that's true. On the other hand, what they do agree on is the need to beat George Bush. Both of them opposed the war. Both were early in opposing the war. So I think that while you can find areas of disagreement, particularly vis-a-vis the budget agreement in 95 and 96 that Gore worked to achieve, that those differences pale in comparison to the larger goals.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Harley, who's with us from Williston, Vermont.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I think this has been an excellent thing for Howard Dean. I've been a longtime fan of his, having him as our governor for 11 years. I think when people hear him, that's why they start to like him. And a lot of people don't even know who he is yet. I think that is also good for the Democratic Party. It's a lot better than political columns in the New York Times that are telling us that Howard Dean doesn't have a chance of winning the general election.
So this is all positive from your point of view.
Yeah, I think so. It's much better than having Al Gore be behind somebody else.
Uh-huh. Let me put Harley's comments to both of our commentators, but I'm going to add this comment that we got from Marilyn, who emailed us from Washington, D.C. It's too early for Gore to endorse, she wrote. I like the wide-open field because it prevented the Republicans, with vast money resources, from putting a bullseye on any one target. If Dean becomes the obvious choice, then the Republican attack dogs, this is her writing, will tear him apart before he can introduce himself to the American electorate at large. Doug Schoen?
Well, I think that one of the things the Democrats have always done is divide themselves and make themselves open for those same attacks. And I think that if the nominee, if it be Dean, is chosen early, it will give them a chance to consolidate around his candidacy and fight back. So I think while it may make the primaries less competitive, I think it will, if it achieves its desired goal, present a united front at a time when George W. Bush has close to $150 million that he can rein on the Democratic putative nominee. So I think on that ground, it's probably much more positive than negative.
What do you think, Jack Pitney?
Yeah, if you're running for president, you don't want to have happen to you what happened to Bob Dole in 1996. Very tough, very competitive primary season. And in fighting the primaries, he ran out of money and went dark for several months while President Clinton, who didn't have any competition for the Democratic nomination, was able to roll over him. So the imperative for a candidate is to try to close down the nomination process as fast as you can and save your resources for what will turn out to be an extended general election campaign.
That's Jack Pitney. We're also speaking with Douglas Schoen about Al Gore's endorsement earlier today of Dr. Howard Dean, the former governor of Vermont, to be the Democratic presidential candidate. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Doug Schoen, the way Jack Pitney was just talking there, he sounds as if, it's over before anybody's cast a vote.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I think the process is certainly one where Dean has a clear advantage. But, you know, Iowa is neck and neck. I think that if Representative Gephardt is successful there, it is likely that a un-Dean will emerge in the primary process, whether it be Senator Lieberman, General Clark, John Kerry, or Gephardt, and that in the primary processes that move south and west, there will be a candidate who will emerge as the candidate of those who are not supporting the former Vermont governor. So I think it's a little too early to call the nominating process decided, but on the other hand, this is a big leg up for Howard Dean.
Jack Pitney is a famous saying that politics ain't beanbag. Look at the other Democratic candidates, the major ones. Mr. Lieberman was selected by Al Gore to be his running mate and held off on his announcement to run for president until Gore decided whether he would run or not. Richard Gephardt was a big campaigner and endorser of Al Gore last time around. Same with Mr. Kerry, a former colleague. And you could say that a lot of these people had a bigger call on Al Gore's sentiments than Howard Dean did, who gave him a bit of pause 4 years ago.
Yeah, and that's particularly true of Joe Lieberman, especially because Lieberman held off. And in a just world, Lieberman would get gratitude points from Democrats for holding off his candidacy, and now sympathy points for losing the endorsement to Howard Dean. But we don't live in a just world; we live in a real world. And as in the apocryphal words of Leo DeRocher, "Nice guys finish last."
Doug Schoen, some people are saying this is certainly about 2004, but it's also about 2008.
Well, yeah, I alluded to that in my comments. I think Al Gore would almost certainly want to run again, and my hunch is that he did this at least in part to solidify his position with the group of activists who rallied to Howard Dean, and on the assumption that if Dean is not successful, he will have at least some claim on their support going forward.
And Jack Pitney, in that sense, is it significant? This event was held a block away from the offices of former President Clinton.
Yes. The relation between Gore and Clinton was not always happy, and Hillary Clinton could be a competitor for the 2008 nomination, and of course this occurs in the home state of Senator Clinton. Now, the story has been that the Clintons were encouraging General Clark to run, and so one could read this as a backhanded attack on the Clintons, although that could be a stretch. It's more trying to unify the Democratic Party, but he also has his eye on 2008 and his conflict potentially with the Clintons.
And Doug Schoen, if that's the case, aren't some of the people whom he did not endorse today likely to remember what happened today?
Well, I certainly agree with Professor Pitney that Joe Lieberman has every reason to be quite aggrieved. And indeed, the other that you alluded to, Senator Kerry, Representative Gephardt, people he'd worked with for a long time, I think have some claim on his support. But I believe Al Gore, you know, did what he thought was right for the Democratic Party and, frankly, what was right for him. And I think he made a shrewd tactical move that hopefully will redound to the party and his own benefit.
Well, thanks very much for joining us. Obviously, this is going to be a subject of continuing controversy and conversation. Doug Schoen, appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Doug Schoen is a Democratic pollster with the firm of Penn, Schoen & Berland in New York City. Jack Pitney, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Jack Pitney is a government professor at Claremont McKenna College, and he was with us from his home in Glendale, California. And again, be sure to be with us on January 6th, where all the Democratic candidates, we hope, will join us for the public radio debate in Des Moines, Iowa, just ahead of the Iowa caucuses and, of course, the New Hampshire primary. If you have a specific question for a specific candidate, send it to us at election@npr.org. Again, that's election@npr.org. We're reserving part of the time during that debate for listener email questions to the candidates. Be sure to join us then. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.